Hello and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 38, another MCU recap, our second to last MCU recap.
Oh man, we're going to miss them.
Because we're not going to count Infinity War when we do that as
right.
a recap.
That'll be just a review.
Yeah. This time we're talking about Doctor Strange and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
Okay, so let's start with Doctor Strange. Which we're going to have very different feelings on.
Very different feelings?
No, I don't know. I don't know, but where did you put it?
That's a great question.
I was actually thinking that.
Show me where I put it.
We have a rankings.
It's like low end, middle low end.
You put it as number 14.
Yeah, that's really fucking low, isn't it?
Mine is number 10.
Okay.
So actually, I'm not even that much higher.
It's not that much, but you're definitely more middle of the road for it.
Yes.
And I feel like, I don't know, I might move it up after the rewatch, like a little bit, like one or two, but... Because for me, it's not... I think it's a very well-made movie.
Yeah.
And I think, like, with what Doctor Strange is, you know?
Yeah.
If you like Doctor Strange, if you're into that, then this is a good representation of
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah.
I just don't really, like, I'm not excited by his character. He's not remarkable or memorable to me.
Yeah.
And none of the supporting cast, really, like, I think the one that I had the most fun with is Benedict Wong, right? And his... not reacting to
yes
to this to his straight, stars, his straight man. He still listens to Beyonce yes.
his straight man yeah I love Chiwetel Ejiofor and
I love
like basically
actor.
Everything he's in so I love Mordo which I was actually watching it and thinking of like I never got my Mordo Funko I'm very sad
oh there is but there is a Mordo Funko
yes
so you
there
can
is
get it.
I need to buy him
I think
I
he's a very interesting and complicated character Mordo mm-hmm. is but I feel like they did a really good job setting up how his view is different from Tilda Swinton's
yeah.
or the Ancient One or Stevens. But then it's like that last scene is like such a, for me, it feels just a 180. Like
yeah.
he's like, oh, y'all are not, you know, following the natural order. Now let me go and get rid of some sorcerers. So I was like,
like if they exist, is that the natural order?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if that's how I would go about that. But okay, dude.
All right. It's got some fucked up feelings. It's okay.
Right. But let's start from the very beginning, I guess.
Okay.
Which was a rather dark beginning.
Just a little. He's a douche.
Yes. What's his face? Paiselius? Is that
Caecilius.
His name? Caecilius. Oh, I don't even...
Caecilius.
Caecilius.
Mads Mikkelsen. Mads,
exactly. That's what we're going to call him. Mads Mikkelsen. Very rude person. And I don't feel like I really understood his deal, other than like...
Yeah.
He wants power and... I guess
he wants eternal life for everybody, thinking that Dormammu's going to give that to him.
But he didn't do the research.
Yeah, he did not.
Classic case of did not do the research.
He did not do... maybe because, you know, he stole the... He ripped two pages out of a book, yeah. which is the ultimate. Let's ignore the fact that he killed the librarian, because that's bad, but destroying a book is obviously the bigger...
No respect.
Yeah, that's the bigger wrong in this situation. Mm-hmm. And so he obviously, like, maybe there was one more page he should have stolen, and that would have had the,
right.
okay, but here's the follow-up.
Yeah.
But
warning,
then
you're just going to become part of Dormammu. Oh, I don't want that. Never mind.
Yeah. But then, well, no, he knew he was going to be part of the
just,
one.
He didn't know what the one was.
Yeah, he didn't really realize what that was.
He thought it was, like, singing Kumbaya forever.
And I guess maybe even if he had read the warning labels, he might have just thought whoever wrote those books was lying the same way the Ancient One was.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, he's just stupid.
I guess, and one lesson to learn is don't lie to your students, because then they're going to find out and go batshit insane.
Yeah, they don't like that.
Apparently.
They're going to turn on you and become villains, or at least, like, a foe in some way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I guess we don't know, like, is Mordo really a villain? He's just... It's complicated.
Yeah. We'll see in the next movie, but for most of the movie, of course he was not a villain, you know? In any sense of the word.
Well, it's like...
And then...
I'm trying to figure out, where he is when everything goes down in Infinity War, because... And, like, so Stephen Strange... It's been years now.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Strange, I don't think he's supposed to be the Sorcerer Supreme yet. I don't think he actually is.
Oh, okay.
He's a master.
Right, but he is, like, guarding the New York one,
yes,
right?
Yes, of the same.
Is he just hanging out by himself there? Because it feels like
Wong is with him.
Wong's in the New
York. Is anybody at Kamar-Taj training people?
That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, what is...
And does he now know that, you know, Mordo's walking around, like, taking the power of other
Yeah,
sorcerers?
I feel like they can't know that yet, right? I mean, maybe they'll know that, like, something mysterious is going on and people are losing, you know.
But they're distracted
by... feel less magic somehow, but yeah, they're distracted.
They're distracted by other problems, mm-hmm. maybe?
That's what I would imagine. I don't know.
Anyway, speaking of Doctor Strange himself, going mm-hmm. back to, like, actually talking about the movie we just watched.
Right.
Instead of future movie. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, like, we said something while we were watching it of at least, you know, because a lot of people like to point out that this is a very similar origin story to what happens to Tony Todd, to Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And, but at least Doctor Strange, what he was doing was helping people as opposed to Tony, who was just creating devices right. for destruction.
I mean, like, on a, it's like, on a personal level, Stephen Strange is, like, an asshole, right?
Yeah.
But on a, you know, professional level, he is doing something good for the world. Although we do know that, like, even as a doctor, he would turn down patients that are gonna hurt his record, right? Like,
yes.
Like, so it's not like he was a selfless or, like, a, you know?
Yeah.
But, at baseline, you know, he was making the world better because he was a doctor. Whereas, like you said, Tony
he's not trying to kill people. Yeah. He's not creating things that will kill people.
Yeah, but I feel like, also, it's, like, it's interesting because it's, like, Tony comes from, like, obviously a place of a lot of privilege and the ignorance that comes with that, right? Uh-huh. And as soon as his eyes are open to it, he wants to change his ways. And yeah. He does actively want to make the world better. Whereas, I feel like Steven, it takes a lot of people telling him how selfish he is. And then, I don't know, maybe the world literally about to be destroyed. I don't really know at what point he decides, I guess I'll stop being a selfish asshole.
Well, I think it's the moment where the Ancient One is dying.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, it's not about you.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when he's like, alright.
Get the fuck over it. Grow up and start looking at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Especially because if you think about it, it mirrors what the conversation he has with... what's her face?
Christine?
Yeah, with Christine in the mm-hmm. beginning, where she's saying, well, you know, work in my ER, save a life, and he's like, what I'm doing is going to save thousands. But at the same time, he doesn't realize that, like, he's not seeing the bigger picture in with the magic mm-hmm. until Tilda Swinton's like,
right.
No, I'm trying to get you to help a lot more people, as opposed to, you know, what, Pangborn, who just wanted to walk.
Right, just wanted to help himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like how the other students, I guess, are like, oh, you're working with Dormammu? Now that's licensed to just go batshit insane. But then Steven uses it. It's like, oh, I guess I could make a deal with Dormammu too, kind of thing. So it's like not the same kind of deal, obviously.
Yeah.
Because she's like drawing from the darkness, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to this dude and see what I can.
And the way he does, like, his hand's funny. Mm-hmm. At that, there must be some kind of magical thing that keeps Dormammu. Because otherwise, why wouldn't he just be like, psych, I'm going to come anyway?
Yeah.
Like, there's no... he must do something.
Yeah,
it
must be like some kind of, like...
this is kind of binding in some way. Not that we're not going to see Dormammu.
A blood pact.
At some point in the future.
Yeah, because there wasn't really enough Dormammu to, like, justify, like... because it's a pretty big villain for him, I think.
Yes.
And then just be like a 5-minute...
Isn't this, like, his biggest villain?
Yeah. So then just, like, a 5-minute battle of just, like, oh, I'm boring you by doing this on repeat.
Yeah. Let's do this over and over and over again. Yeah, time is a really horrible thing to introduce to somebody who doesn't understand the concept. that was clever.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that Dormammu, the voice of Dormammu, is Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, I did not. That's interesting.
He does the voice
of
Dormammu.
That's kind of funny. Yeah.
And then, I'm thinking random facts. It's, he can't grow, like Matt, he can't grow a beard.
Benedict can't?
That's flipping me off. He can't grow a beard, so that's all fake.
Oh, wow. That's pretty funny.
And the shirtless scene, mm-hmm. he wanted that because he's like, I've been working out for 6 months.
And they're
like,
I should show it off. That's funny.
Yeah, like, oh, as opposed to Thor Ragnarok, where Chris Hemsworth was like, do we really need the gratuitous shirtless? And Taika Waititi was like, yes.
Yeah, Chris already
because
knows.
That's what people
already,
want.
Exactly. Chris is already comfortable with himself. He doesn't need to keep showing it off.
He doesn't want to be a piece of meat.
Exactly.
And I think Taika Waititi said that's exactly what he's like, you are. Like, that's what humans are. You are a piece of meat.
Oh.
Just stop it.
Oh, Taika.
But yeah.
That's funny.
The part where the robe, or yeah, his cape, or his robe.
Oh yeah, with like wiping.
Wipes, that was Benedict Cumberbatch's yes, idea as well.
Yes. The cape was like, that's the most memorable character for me. So it's the I do love the cape.
It's got
the cape of levitation.
It's a lot
right?
smarter than he is.
Yeah.
Yes. The cape of cloak of levitation.
Cloak levitation.
Wrong word. It's Matt's giving me crap.
You started me off. I on started the wrong on foot. Cape. That's what happened.
I knew I wasn't the right word. I was like, it's not a cape. It's not
a
robe.
Cloak. It's a cloak. Anyway,
it has attitude.
It does.
It's fun.
It did have attitude.
What does she say?
Spunk.
Hmm? It's finicky.
It's finicky. Yeah. Yeah. I guess like him. There you go. They're a perfect match.
Yeah.
But yes. So the visuals of the movie are really
it's beautiful, yeah. And it actually and I'm. I do not like post-converted 3D for the mm-hmm. most part, and won't see movies in post-converted 3D, except that this one we did. I think we saw it in theaters 3 or 4 times, and we saw it once in, like, 2D.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look as good. We actually talked about getting a 3D television just for this movie.
Wow.
We're like, well, now we kind of feel like we need it. Not that we watch it all the time, but
for our daily Doctor Strange ritual.
I do it with everything else. I mean, all the other MCU movies. I'm kidding. But yeah, it's so much, like, there's so much more detail.
Yeah.
Especially the final fight.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
When everything's reversing, and but they're still fighting around. Yeah, that part really, really helps in 3D. It is really a lot better. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it is. It is
I like the colors a lot.
And of course, since you know me, you know I have to bring up that even though Tilda Swinton is great, and she yes. is very funny, I don't like the casting of Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One, and it is very weird and disconcerting to me. Especially
yeah.
when other people are looking like normal people, and then she is, like, with her, like, shaved head, and it's all, like, looking like a Tibetan monk, but she's a white lady. So, like, this is very strange.
Yeah.
But she, you know, did a good job. And I remember someone was like, oh, but it's Tilda Swinton. So it's like, yeah, but you know, other people could also be like Tilda Swinton if you gave
well,
them a chance.
Well, and my big thing is, so obviously they claim that it was because they didn't want to, what, partly they didn't want to offend people because it's a stereotype?
Yeah, but like,
supposedly.
You literally went to Nepal to learn about ancient arts that
but,
obviously
and then
came
it
from
couldn't
there.
Be Tibetan because that offends China and China's too important for the
right.
Chinese. But, and this is not to defend them because I don't think they made the right choice.
Mm.
But I honestly, the only thing that really makes sense to me with their thought process is because, like, you could have gone for Native American.
Mm-hmm.
You could have gone for there's so many other religious things you could have done and mystical kind of
mm-hmm.
ideas that and not made it white. If you
right.
really were like, well, Asian is too much of a stereotype. Not
but,
that
like,
the other ones aren't.
Right.
But I honestly think that, like, it was a, partly it was a shorthand thing that they were just like, well, Tilda Swinton's kind of weird, and if the person's white, we could say Celtic, and they assume everybody knows what Celtic means.
Right.
And it doesn't require the same kind of explanation as some other things.
Yeah,
I
although
don't know, it's the
you
only
think
thing that, makes
that
sense
like,
to me. I'm
Celtic
not saying
lady
okay.
in Nepal would actually require lots of explanation.
Yeah, really.
Like, what, but
at what point
yes.
did she go there? I'm yes. not saying they made the
right,
right choice. I
right.
think it's still, yeah.
Yeah. But, I, but yeah, I almost, see that
they could have done Maori. They mm-hmm. could, like, there's so many things they could have done.
Right.
But that's the only thing that makes sense to me is, okay, well, we're all westernized. We all know Western culture. Everybody knows what Celtic means. It's
right.
Like, it's like
yeah. Like it, that's good for me. It's just like in that case, then even though that would be sort of like, well, there's even less, but then set it in, you know, the, I don't even know what you call it, Great Britain, UK. Where would I, where, what am I saying?
Great
when
Britain,
I say Great Britain,
probably the easiest.
You know?
Great Britain is the island, UK
yeah.
is the kingdom, which includes Ireland and
mm-hmm.
all various.
And then
small
actually
provinces.
Have it be like, a Celtic healing group, you know?
Yeah.
If
it's funny, because I almost think, like, it would have worked better to use the word druid than Celtic.
Yeah,
because Celtic doesn't
yeah,
actually, I don't know.
But they
but
don't
still,
really say that. They don't say that in the movie, right?
They say she's Celtic.
Oh, they do say she's Celtic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When he's asking Mordo how old she is.
Oh, he just says she's Celtic?
And
like
she,
that.
Yeah,
okay.
he says she's Celtic, but
yeah.
that's all we know, and we assume Celtic means, like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's that puts it in a time period.
Yeah.
But it's like,
It definitely did not put it in time period for me.
It's like, technically there's like still people of Celtic descent. Yeah. So like,
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway.
Whatevs. She was fine in the role, but yes, I think they made the wrong choice.
Yeah, I think the character's cute, like the little like quirky like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Stuhlberg, Michael Stuhlberg, is that how you say his name?
Yes, who is in everything now.
Yeah, I was so shocked to see him here.
I know, I didn't remember that, but he was in. I was like, oh, that's right, it's him.
Love him, he's a great actor. I'm glad that he's getting to do less random roles now.
Yeah, really. Because he's in it so briefly.
Yeah.
And every time Steven's like, you broke me, I'm like, no, that was you doing being the stupid idiot driving.
Oh my God.
And not paying attention to you.
And yeah, first off, he took off at like 100 miles an hour. Like, yes. So
in the middle of New York City.
Yeah. I don't even know how he did that. And then he's like looking down at the brain scans while driving. Like, come on.
It's funny because, okay, so the first one is, what does he say? It's a colonel? An Air Force colonel?
Oh, yes.
Air Force colonel who had some kind of spinal injury in a prototype. Like, metal suit,
mm-hmm.
which that's supposed Rhodey. To be Rhodey.
Yeah, yeah.
The next one, then, is, like, an old lady. That's the one where he's, like, it's, like, a 68-year-old woman or something.
Right.
The next one after that, we all thought maybe, where's, like, is that Captain Marvel? Because what, I wrote it down. I was, like, what exactly does he say? 22-year-old female with electrical implant to control schizophrenia struck by lightning. There were a lot of people who were, like,
Could that sound like Captain Marvel? But then...
Like, the prototype armor, it was like, well, everybody knows who War Machine is. Yeah. Why wouldn't they just say War Machine?
Yeah.
So it could have been like a, right, like the guy was getting things wrong. Oh, so it was like a hint, nudge, nudge, but now we know Captain Marvel was in the 90s, so it doesn't make sense.
I mean, unless she's, like, frozen in the form of a 22-year-old woman, she is, because she's Brie Larson. So,
yes. She's probably not on Earth, so it doesn't
work. Yeah, so probably not.
And why would they be asking for somebody to, like...
Yeah. She probably is already doing her Captain Marvel thing.
She's not on Earth, but I'm convinced. Anyway.
So, I love Rachel McAdams.
Yes.
And I thought that she did a great job with the, like, four scenes she had. Yeah. But I don't, like, their relationship was, like, so weirdly drawn to me.
Yeah.
Like, it starts off and they, like, seem, like, super casual about the fact that they once maybe dated and, like, all jokey about it. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as he has the accident, she's like... I love you, and I want to take care of you. And he's like, we were barely lovers. And I was like, wait, that doesn't sound correct.
Yeah. And she's the only person who cares, because she's the only person who apparently will take his abuse and not... Maybe because she's seen enough of him not being a dick. I don't know.
I mean, because we don't see that part where she sees that, so we don't know. But then it's like, again, the second that same scene where he decides he's not going to be a dick anymore because the ancient one just died, it's suddenly like, now... She knows that he's back to being cool again and not a dick, and they're like, oh, it's okay.
Lots of face touching.
Yeah. And I was like, this got real romantic out of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't feel it.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm well established as the person who doesn't want romance, except that I don't mind the romance in the next movie we're going to talk about.
Yeah. But I was gonna say, like, I love romance, and I don't love this one.
I love romance, just for some reason, not the way they do it in the MCU.
Yeah. I get you. But this one, I'm like, all right. I feel like she could have been the way that she was and just been a friend and not been,
like, yeah,
the and extra romance that was seemed unnecessary.
In fact, I probably would have liked it more even if you wanted to have established that they dated at one point, have it just be that they care about each other as opposed to, you know, I mean, at least she didn't actually kiss him, but she kissed his cheek.
Right.
I don't know. It's dumb. I don't really care. But she was cute.
Yeah, she's very cute. Benjamin Bratt deserves... more. I was like, you got Benjamin Bratt for like two scenes?
I know, I feel like there may have been a reason why they cast him in particular.
Yeah, like maybe he will be involved in the second one.
Yeah, like there will be more,
Maybe he'll get his magic back from Doctor Strange.
When Doctor Strange finally realized, hey, wait a minute, what is Mordo doing?
Right, and then also have that same journey of wanting to use it to help others.
There you go, finally stop being so selfish.
Right.
And don't have it just be about being able to walk, which I can't blame him for wanting to use it for that, but that shouldn't be the only thing.
At least he's not hurting anyone, right? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And also, like, is there, like, a limited amount of magic? Like, you know, are you taking away from someone who could be using it for something good?
Yeah, I know, right?
So maybe it's then just that does make you a null. You know, it's like a nothing.
He drives the Lamborghini while... I'm looking at my notes again. Yeah. He drives a Lamborghini while Tony's rocking out in Audis, and I think Tony has a little bit more money. Dr. Strange's obviously rich, but I'm pretty sure...
Probably Tony Stark a little bit more money.
...has a little bit more money than him. And Matt's theory was that accident, he wouldn't have survived in an Audi, but because it was a Lamborghini, he did. Which I guess, you know, says something about the manufacturing of Lamborghinis. Yeah. But that's why they cost so goddamn
and
much.
And the movie clearly took that into account. Yes, they were like, right. Can't have an Audi this time. I think the thing that for me is, I don't know, maybe the one of the reasons why I just don't care about Doctor Strange as much as other Marvel characters, mm-hmm. is that I feel like there's nothing inherent about him that makes him a better magician or, like, sorcerer or, like, you know, the person that becomes the resourcer, like...
He's just very good at everything.
Yeah, right. Like, if anyone else had shown up there, and there were plenty of people there, so, like, I was like, why can't any of them be, you know, how did it happen for him?
Was it him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, but I guess he just has the quick-thinking surgeon, I don't know.
He's getting got out a of perfect memory, problems. Apparently, which is how he got both his doctorate and his medical life.
Yeah, I mean, that perfect memory was certainly useful when he was like, oh, I guess I'm going to reverse time, like, because I saw it on the page one
And
time.
He learns to read Sanskrit in, a flash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, the biggest thing about the movie is that it introduces the multiverse more. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of get an idea of it with Ant-Man, but it really brings it home and... Yeah.
Yeah, like all the different dimensions.
There's going to be a lot more after Avengers 4 to do with Doctor Strange. Which is going to be fun getting Benedict Cumberbatch. And they had to push this movie back because he was unavailable.
Oh, really?
And they wanted it earlier, but he wasn't available. And so they kept having, and they tried, like, I know, what's his face? Oh. Joaquin Phoenix, I think at one point, was up for the role, but they were just like...
Joaquin Phoenix?
I know, right?
That would have been weird.
He wouldn't really commit to multiple movies. Okay. And that is obviously not going to work for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need somebody... Especially, I think, because Doctor Strange is going to be so important. But he's been in such demand, Benedict Cumberbatch, lately, that they're going to have a really hard time. I mean, Infinity War, they had to get... A double, because there are scenes that are really important scenes where it's not Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, shit.
Because they could not get Benedict Cumberbatch.
Wow. I was surprised that he signed on for that much, since he's always so busy.
Yeah.
So.
But everybody wants to be in the MCU. Even the people who make fun of it are honestly just mostly doing that because they're mad that they haven't been invited yet.
Right, there you go. Clearly, I also agree with you that Chiwetel's amazing, because I have random notes that are just Chiwetel! ! Kleenex.
I live for his reactions to things that other people, like, especially that Doctor Strange says.
Yeah.
Like, every once in a while, his reaction face is just classic. I actually wrote that down. I live for Chiwetel's reaction. He's great.
They should vet recruits harder, because obviously they have a bunch of awful ones.
Well, I mean, I guess she tried, except that she's obviously not good at it.
Yes.
Because she kicked him out, and he ends up being the one that they need.
Yeah. Like, half, she's got a, 50-50 success rate. It's not good. Gotta improve that.
Obviously, the Ancient One, not the best sorceress, because she was making a lot of really bad decisions.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I like it. But I hadn't realized until... I can't remember the last time I watched it. I think it was, a year and a half ago. Because we didn't show it to your parents, did we? No, we didn't show it to Matt's parents. We watched a bunch of MCU movies with them at Christmas. I actually thought we hadn't watched Guardians 2 for a while, and I was like, oh, no, we showed it to them at Christmas. I was like, we're watching Baby Groot. And I was like,
Baby Groot.
Right, I did just watch this, because I was like, oh, Baby Groot. I guess we're moving on, because I don't
think so Doctor Strange is a well-made film.
Yes.
Yay.
I want to see more.
Mm-hmm. More Doctor Strange.
I want to see him and Peter together. Yeah. I know that they're supposed to have a lot of stuff
I was going to say, I thought that spoilers for our future discussions, Doctor Strange became infinitely more interesting in the few scenes he had in Thor Ragnarok interacting with Thor and Loki.
Yeah.
So I feel like he as a character will be more interesting when we see him playing off of other MCU characters that we care about.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair point. Even if it still, in some ways, felt like he was tacked on. Because, like,
yeah.
that post-credit scene, mm-hmm. where they just show part of the scene from Thor Ragnarok, it made it feel like he was going to be a much bigger part of Thor Ragnarok. And then it was like, literally, oh, okay, here's a map to your dad, and here's your brother back. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And so that was a little weird. But, I mean, it's still good, yes. Mm. It's always fun to see them pop up in each other, which... I have a feeling that's going to be something that they're going to... I think they've talked about it a little bit, that they can't keep having one-character movies. Like,
right.
They have to be popping up more and more in each other's films.
I mean, I feel like it's fine for the origin one, because when you're just starting out with your own powers, like, the first thing that you do isn't, like, call up the Avengers and be like, hey,
yeah.
I have powers! But after that, then once you're known as a hero, obviously someone's going to be running into you.
Especially if you're all in New York City.
Yeah.
It's like...
They should branch out from that. There you go. They should put some in other places.
The TV shows are,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We have New Orleans and LA and...
Yes.
And then four others that are in New York City.
And then I don't even know where AOS takes place.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. Everywhere?
Yeah.
I think they're like, what, in Maine or something right now? There's a lighthouse. I don't know. Whatever.
Right. Maine.
Who knows? They go all
space.
Over the place.
Yeah.
Well, they were just in England, and it did not at all look like England.
Nope.
We were watching it last night, actually, and I was sitting there, I was like, I'm waiting for the palm tree. I was like, this looks, shouldn't it be a little bit greener?
You're like, this is not,
England
this is
would
not
be
correct.
A little bit greener.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Guardians Volume 2. Still a good movie. Where do I have them on
I
my
feel
list?
Like,
where did we put,
yeah,
where did we put that?
Wasn't it 8 for you and 7 for me? Or opposite?
Yes, it is 8 for me. And 7 for you.
Yeah. So we,
so
are
we like it better.
I feel like I have the opposite feeling about Guardians than I do about Doctor Strange. In that I feel like I love the character so much, and there's so many memorable moments in Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
mm-hmm.
that I, you know, make me really happy. I have a lot of feelings about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a really convoluted movie. Like, it has a lot of shit going on. It didn't need to have that much going on.
Yeah. I could agree with that. You know, the one thing that I noticed this time, and I was like, I think I felt this before, but I never really figured out what it was that was bothering me. I feel like the a lot of the humor is much more juvenile than the first
one. I literally wrote exactly
oh
that.
Oh my god.
I literally did.
Like, seriously,
I was like,
every
isn't
time
this
we're like,
humor way more juvenile than the first movie?
And you have to wonder if that is the influence of, because the original Guardians was written by a woman, Nicole something, I can't remember her name. And then James Gunn came in and he changed it, but she's still credited as a writer, so obviously most of her stuff is still there.
Yeah.
You have to wonder if that's maybe him.
That's his sense of humor more than...
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, like, the turd joke.
Yeah.
And the... I don't need to... All the penis jokes.
Yes.
It's, like, all of
the...
I was
even
like,
the extended, like, how disgusting Drax finds Mantis.
Yes.
Is like, all right.
Yeah, it's...
You know?
It was... That's the only thing that really bothers me. Like, I can understand why people have problems with ego. Okay. And maybe, and the, I mean, it's not as good as the first one. It would have been hard to be that good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just, God, half the time I'm just like, I hate this joke. Can we just take this joke out?
Yeah, that is really true,
I don't
though.
Like gross out humor.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a fan of gross out humor.
Yeah, same.
And, I think that's part of the reason that, like, I like Deadpool, but I'm not a huge fan, because it, like,
right. it's
that is Deadpool.
A lot of sight
so,
gags and body humor.
Yeah. So I'm actually not surprised that we both had the same experience. Like, I was like, oh, can we stop?
That is so accurate, though.
I do feel like the story is convoluted, but I don't know, it bothers me. I like how it breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
I love it's about family.
Exactly, that's what I was saying. I love the theme of family, and I love how many places you find it. You know, like, they have, I've forgotten everyone's name, something. Peter looking for his father, and, you know, they're talking about his father and then finding him, but then his real family is the Guardians.
Yes.
And
his real father is Yondu.
Yeah, his real father is Yondu, and you've got Gamora and Nebula, you know, sisters who have a really fucked up childhood, but at the end of the day, still love each other. And even Groot, you know, like,
everyone taking care of
Groot
and raising him.
Yeah, and the Ravagers being one family that
yeah
had a falling out. even though that was still a little bit convoluted, because I was like, wait, I was like, how much do they know, and how much, you know, where did this come from? And then at the end, they all did the funeral, which was beautiful, and I cried when I actually watched it, but I was still like, who told them exactly what happened? And, like, they're like, oh, we saved the galaxy, guys, and Yondu helped us.
Yondu sacrificed himself to save the galaxy. It's okay.
Yeah, like, send out a message to the universe. And like, celebrate Yondu. But yeah,
it's the family theme. And that's what is so great about the Guardians and that story in general. And that's, like, I think that's one of the reasons it ends up being, you know, so hot, like, relatively high, considering there are 18 movies on my list, because it is, I don't think there's a character I don't like.
Right.
There's characters that are not as high, like, you'd rank, if you rank them, but still, I love them all.
Yeah.
And I am compelled by them.
Yeah, there isn't any character that I, like, especially of, like, the, not just the main group, but then, like, the offshoots of them, right? Like, including Nebula, including Yondu, etc. Of all of those, there isn't a single one that I wouldn't want. Some characters I would love to yeet, to throw out of a story, are the Sovereign. Like, I was like, y'all gotta stop. This is dumb.
I'm hoping, it's hard because it's, like, obviously with Adam Warlock, you're gonna have them involved in the next one, but let's not have them as
much. Hopefully it's just, like, one scene of, like, he goes out, and he's like, alright, well, I'm perfect, and y'all aren't, bye.
Which is sad, because Ben Browder is one of the Sovereign, and I love Ben Browder. But, yeah, I mean,
I felt like a lot of the jokes with them fell flat. It was like, the thing I liked best about them was when Peter apologized to Gamora for flirting with the Sovereign Queen
lady. Obviously bothered you.
Yeah, that was really cute, because I was like, that also shows maturity on his part, even though he's like...
he shouldn't be doing it in the first place, but it's like, oh wait.
Yeah.
This movie's only supposed to take place a few months after the first Guardians.
Oh, really?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why the joke with Stan Lee with his cameo in the movie when he says, oh, and then there was the one time I was the FedEx guy. It actually doesn't work because this takes place 2 years before Civil War.
Oh,
it was like, yeah, James Gunn had to admit, yes, I fucked up that way.
No.
And nobody caught it for some reason.
That is funny, though.
Yeah.
One thing that is interesting, because it's only been a few months, is how much Drax has grown in his understanding of interactions and, you know, not being literal. Because he lies many times in this movie, and is sarcastic, and makes jokes that first movie Drax would not be making.
His joy is just so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, he's just laughs at everything. I'm like, I wish I could be that, just, you know, carefree.
He's quite infectious, especially considering how, you know, consumed he was by his family's death in the first movie, but obviously they got rid of he.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's moved on from that.
Well, he has that, because obviously there's the scene with...
He does
still Mantis, which almost, honestly, that feels like that's the little reminder that he has this thing, you know, he's still, because, you know, as much as Nebula is talking about wanting to kill Thanos all the time.
He also has to.
He also really wants to kill Thanos, but he doesn't talk about it in this movie as much.
Right.
Yeah.
Although, maybe in the third one, he'll team up with Nebula for a Thanos takedown.
Except.
Oh, Infinity War.
Infinity War.
He can do that there.
And... with Nebula and Drax are two of the characters people think might die. Because
this is disrespectful.
Because they're the ones who have the biggest grudge
with Thanos,
against Thanos.
Yeah, that makes sense. As long as Gamora doesn't die, I'm okay.
Yeah, Gamora's not allowed to die.
I had a lot of, like, random notes, but I think that we agreed that the music isn't as catchy this time around.
It isn't. I mean, it's still good, but except for the chain.
Yeah, the chain was amazing. And it was great use of that song, for sure.
Yeah, it was, that was all of the marketing and stuff was done with that song, too. And that was absolutely perfect. And then, is it just called Mr. Blue? The song that at the beginning that Groot is dancing to. That's fun.
Oh, yeah. That's I love the sequence of him dancing.
That entire sequence. And I actually, I said it while we were watching it. Every single time I watch that scene, I try and make myself watch what's going on in the background. But who wants to when Baby Groot is dancing on screen for you? I mean, Baby Groot. Yeah. I did say this, guys. I almost think Groot in general, I almost might like him better than Bucky. Because, maybe because, like, he's joyful.
Yeah, he's joyful. He's so innocent.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's just fun.
Yeah.
And, like, even the adult group was pretty innocent. Mm-hmm. Like, he's killing a lot of people, but, yeah, like, when he does that part where he puts his roots through people and then throws them against the, and he turns around and he just has a big smile on his face. That's great. Yeah. He's just so happy.
Teenage Groot's gonna ruin it all.
And Bucky doesn't get to be happy, and it's just gonna get worse. Neither does Cap, which is my other favorite, obviously.
But
Baby Groot! Baby Groot!
Baby Groot is great. He does bring a smile to our faces.
Yes.
But yeah, I do love that little opening battle sequence, because it's sort of like Avengers Ultron opening one, where you get to see how much they've, you know, developed as a unit, and how they work well together or don't work well together.
Mm-hmm.
So that is fun
to see.
They're
already working together. Yeah. But they obviously still have their problems.
Exactly.
That's part of being family.
Exactly. Yeah. Rocket, big obnoxious the whole movie, but he is very clever, right? He sets up the booby traps. He knows how to...
He is the most capable of all of them.
He's just the most obnoxious.
Also the most destructive.
Yes.
Like, personal destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow Quill has infected them all with his music thing, because Rocket's the one who, like, wants the music at the beginning. He's getting the music ready for the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then, again on the Ravager ship, the music is already playing throughout the ship when we see that, like, him finish the fin on Yondu. So I was like, you literally got the music going before you finished.
Right.
What if it hadn't worked? You'd be like, you brought everybody to you, and then they see you have it, and it's not going to work.
Yeah, that's true.
See, that was
dumb. But I guess it is sort of like, when you spend a lot of time with people, right, you sort of take on their interests.
Yeah.
Now we just need to see what the rest of them are interested in. That
that's true.
That gets passed around.
Yeah, and now that we have the Zune with 300 songs on it,
mm-hmm.
I wonder... Obviously, you know, that was because you want to keep having music. That's the thing about these movies. Everybody's going to want it. But I wonder if, like, especially having something that's a little, not a lot, but a little more
it's
advanced.
It's going to be more recent music.
That's what I was thinking. Is it James Gunn's way of, okay, we'll move into the 80s and the 90s, maybe, mm-hmm. even a bit? The 90s is when the Zune was, right? I think it's the 90s.
Yeah, I think it's
maybe
90s.
Early 2000s at the latest.
Yeah, it is, but, like, mid-90s to early 2000s, somewhere in there.
So we get a little bit later music?
Yeah.
I don't know what
I think on. I actually had a Zune for, like, a hot second before I got an iPod, just because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did actually get an iPod, but I didn't get the iPod until way later,
right.
So, like, I just didn't have anything
for a while. I was gonna say, so we talked a little bit about the Yondu as being, you know, your daddy, while Ego may have been your father, and I love that. I love their moments at the end and the funeral, mm-hmm. but... He was abusive. He was a really shit dad. So,
it's like that idea of, like, telling him that he was going to eat him all the time. It's like, that's toughen you up. And it's like, that's really not good fatherhood.
And
actually.
Then at the end, he was like, oh, I just had it there the whole time. And I was like, you didn't, though. Like, he was like, sorry, I was a shit dad. Let me die for you.
Yeah.
It still doesn't mean that you had a great dad while you were a child.
Yeah, he did some good things, I guess.
He taught him to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I could think, though, watching it this time, because we are now 2 weeks from Infinity War, which, wow, 2 weeks?
Wow, less I can't believe that. Yeah, I can't believe that.
How much I cry every single time about Yondu.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't usually cry until the Ravagers show up.
Oh, okay.
That's usually actually what really mm-hmm. hits me. That's the moment. And I was like, man, I wasn't even attached to Yondu. Seriously, Infinity War. Avengers 4 are gonna freaking destroy
Yeah, that's true.
Me.
It's gonna be even worse. For sure.
I'm gonna say the first time I cry a little bit, but it's the second time that's usually what kills me.
Yeah.
Because that's like, I always talk about it, when we watched Doomsday, the Doctor mm-hmm. Who episode where Rose gets stuck in the other universe. The first time we watched it, I was upset, but the second time, I was freaking sobbing.
Aww.
Like, uncontrollable. You think somebody died. It was so bad. So anybody who's with me to see it, Matt's gonna be with me to see it the second time, because
he's gonna have to take care of you.
I am going to be a wreck, and we're gonna need several tissue boxes. But yes.
But yeah, and then, of course, I like the way that Nebula and Gamora deal with their childhood, you know, and how Nebula brings up, like, that she was basically abused every time that Gamora won, and Gamora was focused on, you know, not having anything happen to her. So
she was a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things where it is she was a kid.
Yeah. So like,
and what were you gonna do?
Right. All she could have done is get hit instead. Yeah. So,
and she was too young to think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all she can do is try and make amends now that she's an adult and realizes.
So yeah, that is probably for me is like the best or like the most honest emotional through line for the movie.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And of course, like you alluded, I do like the Peter Gamora romance. That is one of my favorite MCU
before
romances.
Before Black Panther, this was my favorite romance. Because it's hard because I mean, obviously I love Steve and Peggy, but we got so little of it. And then I love Agent Carter, and I love her with Sousa.
Yeah.
So I feel like I moved on from that. So it's not as...
You left it behind.
Whereas, and then most of the other ones I am either indifferent to or they drive me nuts. Mm. Most of the time I'm indifferent. But I think they're sweet.
Yes.
But then, then you have T'Challa and Nakia, and that was like, that was a perfect way to show our relationship without, it's not all about that, but it's important.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would say that, like, obviously, for me, Tony and Pepper are my favorite over the course of the whole MCU, but within a single film, I think Nakia and T'Challa were the best done romance, you know? And then Peter and Gamora so far are shaping up to be really good. So those are.
You have to wonder though, like, okay, so we have them kind of connect. Like she admits that there's something.
Yeah. So when will they kiss?
But then there's now 2 years have gone by.
Right. So we don't know.
So are they just, is it still an unspoken thing?
Either they're going to have skipped over it and now they're just together, or they're going to just have been whatever.
They still won't.
Yeah. Waffling.
That was a lot for her to do.
Yeah. He was like, all right, we admitted it. Now we gotta,
we'll get there eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so
I think we've gone through my notes, except for, one thing that's kind of related that I wanted to
say at
the
bit
of end.
Groot getting the prototype, like, I like, the concept is really cute and funny, you know, and, like, a couple of times is really cute, and then I love when, I forgot his name, I'm gonna call him Kirk from Gilmore Girls.
Kraglin,
thank you. Kraglin comes, shows up, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry about the mutiny.
Yeah.
But, like, I felt like it was, like, dragged out, like, or, like, that whole part where they're on the ship or whatever
so
you call it.
Funny though.
Yeah, it's funny, but I'm like, oh my god, when are we gonna get back to the
I love Rocket's face when he's just like the first time and he's like, I don't think
that's
he
gonna work.
He didn't understand you.
but
brings his underwear.
Yes. Oh
and
my god.
The badge is the hat. What was the, that's why you don't like hats?
Yeah.
Because they look funny.
Because these things are part of your
you have a weird shaped head.
Exactly.
But then
I was wondering why no one brought up that Groot has a weird shaped head. But I was like, that hat looks like your head.
it's true. It does. It's funny.
Anyway. I love the part where he says, I finally found my family, and Gamora's like, I thought you already had. I was like,
right in the feels.
Exactly. Anyway, it's awesome. I love the, even though I'm not a big fan of, like, let's watch all these people die, I do love the pattern that the red arrow, like, the arrow makes. You know, like, you see the...
Oh, when...
When Yondu is killing everyone on the ship.
On the ship, yeah.
Yes.
On the ship.
Yeah. Although I was like, are none of those people your friends? Because it was like all
they killed all of them.
Yeah, they killed his friends, and then
friends,
he killed
except,
all the others.
Except for Kraglin, because he actually did call Yondu out because
they thought he was on their side.
Yeah, it was like, just because he said it once doesn't mean he actually wanted to kill everybody and take over the ship.
Right. Which is, I think this movie had a lot of, like, the bad guys doing really stupid things.
Yeah.
Because it's assuming that the other people are just as dumb or as evil as you.
Because seriously, Ego actually telling Peter...
That was so dumb! What do you think you're doing?
How do you expect him to react to, oh yeah, sorry, I killed your mother.
Yeah, you did not have to tell him that you hooked up with a bunch of women, and then it just so happened that you were the only one that worked, and then you had to kill the mom. Like, what?
Yeah.
You could have just shut your mouth, and it would have been fine.
He was, it was working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, villains are very dumb. I loved Rocket going back to save Quill and then not admitting why he wanted to do it. And the whole thing with Yondu and Rocket being the same. Oh, that was a good way.
I think that was really good, too.
Yeah. And then I just wrote in all caps, the Sovereign are so annoying.
So. They really are. Although the video game noises went, that was cute. Totally, it doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really work. Yeah. So it's like, ah, it's just cute. People think it's funny.
Right.
Obviously, we recognize those noises.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. And I did love when, you know, Gamora and Drax are both, like, desperate to go back and save Peter. And I was like, this feels so accurate.
Yes.
Rocket has to be the strong one that's like, nope, we gotta let it go.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, and, okay, this is what I was gonna say, like, I love Peter and Gamora, but I feel like Zoe Saldana is, like, carrying that ship, and I feel like when Chris Pratt tries to make, like, a romantic face, I'm like, oh, honey. Just be funny. But it is,
it's
like,
sweet.
Yeah, I have a friend who said, she says she had a theory that, like, all the best couples are, like, the best chemistry. On, like, shows or in movies is, like, when you've got the mercurial one and the sensual one. So, like, the funny one and the serious one, basically, right? No. I guess this fits, because he's, like, the the floppy one.
That's a good way to describe it.
And she's the solid one. So yeah. That's how they
That's funny. Yes, I think that's a good balance, right? There you go. That's funny. Yeah. Did you see Zoe Saldana? This is what I was talking about wanting to talk about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That her comments about the stuck up people in Hollywood who are like, "Oh, I wouldn't do superhero movies."
I have not.
She made a comment mm-hmm. about how there's a lot of people who basically have sticks up their asses. And I didn't mean to make that callback, but hey, that's a callback. Who, yeah, look down on her and actors who do these movies.
Oh.
Because
they're making somehow, so much money.
Yeah, well, because somehow it's not art, I guess, is what they think.
That's, okay.
And it's like, no, that's what, like, that was my thing earlier, where it's like, no, honestly, you're probably just upset that they never called you.
Right.
And no, it can be art. There's a lot of things, and that, you know, that's what I've said numerous times before, is that I like when my art is saying something, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be, like, hitting me over the head with it. It could be telling me something, and it's just fun, but if you look beneath the surface, there is a message there.
Yeah.
And like we said, this is about the importance of family, mm-hmm. and family isn't
what you're born with.
Yeah, right? Family is what you make it in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. Sometimes the family that created you is not okay.
Yeah.
And which is really the case for a lot of and them. Wants to destroy the world.
Yeah.
Or the universe, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she had a lot of comments, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
she's talking about a lot of people being really sad. And I was like, seriously, Robert Redford did a freaking movie? And I'm sorry, he probably is at, like, the top, like, he's one of the best actors of all time.
I think that...
Get over yourselves, people. Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
You can say that that's not something you want to do, because it's not the kind of film you want to make, but that doesn't mean it's not a good form of art.
That's the kind of, like, snobbery that's like, oh, art is it's only art when, like, nobody likes it, you know? Like, it's gotta be like a super indie, just like,
yeah. And it's like the idea that Get Out is the most successful film to be nominated for an Oscar in how long?
Right
Because only movies that make $2 million can be nominated for the Oscar. It's like the minute that's why Titanic was such a big deal,
right?
That it actually won.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was...
Because it was actually so popular?
Yeah, because they just... Yeah, they all have sticks up their asses, and they think that that can't be art.
Yeah.
When... Okay, no, some of them are just stupid fun.
Yeah.
Sure, although I don't think... I would argue most of them aren't stupid, even if they're just fun.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them... Like I've always said, I mean, look at Black Panther.
Yeah.
That is amazing, mm-hmm. and really important, and... The Winter Soldier is a freaking phenomenal film, even if you take the superheroes out of it. It's like, and it's sad, though, because, like, you see the people who are talking about Black Panther, and it could be the one that gets nominated for the Oscar, and it's like, no, it's not.
No.
It
might be special effects or something, right?
Yeah, it'll probably get something like that.
But
make up
or whatever, I don't know.
Will it be the first movie that the MCU that actually wins an award? Because I don't think it's any of them.
Oh,
really?
None of them have won?
That was the thing with Suicide Squad, when it won for makeup, was the DCU has won.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but MCU has not won.
Hopefully they'll get makeup then. Which, I know we already talked about this, but it drives me nuts that they only have, like, three movies that get nominated for, like, hair and makeup. And I'm like, every movie has this! How are you not nominated for movies for this?
And how like, that got on. It's, like, the same with costume, where you're, like, you could have just, like, you're looking at pictures of what people look like and recreating that. It's, like, sometimes you're, like,
you gotta have others, you know, more imagination. Come on.
Yeah, it's so frustrating, actually. But, yeah, I don't know. But I don't, it's sad, but I don't expect Black Panther to get, especially because it's also mostly black people, and with
unless the Oscars, it becomes the black movie of the year.
Yeah, really. The Oscars not so great about recognizing black people.
Suddenly it'd be like, Chadwick Boseman, best actor.
Yeah. I guess it depends on what comes out for the rest of the year. I don't know what else is supposed to come out, but
we'll see.
The end of the year is always, it also came out too early in the year. Maybe if it had come out right at the end. But I almost feel like a lot of them are going to be like, well, we let them on stage at the last year's Oscars. We
let them on stage? Oh my god.
So that was plenty.
Right.
Yeah. Stuck up white people. Like, old white people.
Yeah.
Who are still in the Academy and, sorry, don't see. And they admit, a lot of them admit that they never see half the movies.
Right.
And it's like, well, then you shouldn't get to vote.
Yeah, it's always crazy when it's like, brutally honest Oscar voters.
Yes.
Feels. I'm like, is this really honest or just kind of dumb? Like, really, brutally dumb opinions.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see that one. I don't care. Oh, okay. Thank you.
They want to be dicks. They just like being dicks. Anyway. I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah. So, next week... We will be, I don't think we're gonna, well, we'll see. I was gonna say, I don't think we'll take as long.
Right.
Because we have Spider-Man Homecoming and Thor Ragnarok.
And we've talked about both.
And we have already talked about both on the podcast.
Yeah.
You can go back and listen to those. I almost feel like I should listen to, no, I don't want to listen to them. To see what I said at the time.
Yeah, right.
It needs to be a fresh, yeah, be fresh exactly. perspective.
We gotta, and we'll have, and we'll definitely have new opinions and feelings, I'm sure. Yeah. So.
And I have not watched Spider-Man Homecoming since it came out.
I'm so excited for this.
Because, and we're going to have to figure out how we're going to watch it, because we don't own it. It's the only MCU movie we do not own, which is still saying a lot, because Spider-Man is Matt's favorite comic book character of all time, and we do not own that movie.
Yeah, well...
But he's also never seen the Amazing Spider-Man movies, so...
Really?
I think he's only seen Spider-Man 3 once, right? Well, I've only seen it once. Yeah, okay, he's maybe watched it a couple times. We don't own it, though. Yeah. But that Spider-Man 3 is terrible, too. Although he thinks it's better than Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh my god.
Which is pretty bad.
I should actually rewatch the original trilogy. The original trilogy. But, you know, the Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I want to. But maybe not for a while.
Not for a while.
We can need to talk about
gotta
other...
it. We gotta let it go.
So many other things to talk about. Right. That's not that the we MCU. Haven't done. Not that I don't obviously love the MCU, but wow, I need a break. Okay. Anyway. So we will be back next week with those two, Thor and Spider-Man.
Not really.
Yeah, no. As always, visit withanaccent.com for news, reviews, interviews, editorials, etc. With an Accent TV is the
YouTube.
I'm like, what's the word? Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr are all at With an Accent. Mm-hmm. And then you can follow the Pop a la Carte pod as well. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.